Good to be back with you this morning to study a portion of God's Word. We're going to really continue the study we started a few weeks ago. Actually, quite a while ago, we've been studying the parables and the figures of speech that Jesus uses. Over the last couple of weeks, they've sort of centered on the idea of repentance. And we'll be following that up this morning with the story of Nicodemus and the idea, too, of the importance of repentance and turning to God and maintaining our path. Remember, we looked at the fig tree that didn't bear any figs, and the idea that we needed to have fruit in our lives, so we need to reflect Jesus in our lives. Last week, we looked at Jesus cleansing the temple in John chapter 2. And the idea there's times in our lives we need to look back at our lives and to cleanse our life if we need to. We need to take stock and make sure that we're maintaining the walk that we should be walking, that we are reflecting Christ in our lives. Because from time to time, we allow things to come into our lives that maybe shouldn't be there. And we need to cleanse them out. We need to always have that idea of repentance and turning back to our God. This morning, we'll be in chapter 3, in the story of Nicodemus and the idea of the Spirit of the Lord. And if you look with me at the very beginning, back to our scripture reading. Just a minute. Nicodemus, from our scripture reading this morning, came to the Lord at night. He was one of the rulers, and it says he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which means he was an older man, probably in his 50s or so. Jesus refers to him once as a teacher, so we know he was well studied in the scriptures. As a ruler, he would have been really the upper class, one that people would have looked up to. He comes to Jesus at night. We don't know for sure why. Some say where he didn't want anybody else to know, but it may have just been he wanted a time to talk to Jesus. And during the daytime, Jesus was always surrounded by great crowds of people. And it would have been hard to have actually had a chance to really to talk with the Lord. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again or from above," it could be translated either way, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" The idea of being born again or born from above is central to Christianity. We are to start a new life. And Jesus brings this out to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus' reply is probably much like many of us would think. How can I really go back and change my life? Can I really start my life again? Nicodemus was an older man. He says, "You know, I've done all the things I've done in my life. Can I just start all over again? I am who I am." And sometimes we think about that. Can I really change and be something else, something more than I am now, or something different that the Lord calls me to be? How can I really start my life all over again? That's what Nicodemus asks. And it's something I've heard other people say, you know, if you knew what was in my life, you wouldn't talk to me about being a Christian, because how can I put all that stuff behind me, stuff I've done in the past or things like the way I am? I cannot be what you think about as a Christian. But Jesus comes to Nicodemus and he says, you must be born again. You must start your life all over again if you want to be a Christian. And that's what he says to us. And it's not always something that we want to think about or think about, how can this be? In fact, Nicodemus will say that exact thing. When Jesus says it, Nicodemus' next question is, how can this be? And Jesus tells him how it can be. If you look on down at the next reply, he talks about how it can be. And Jesus answered him, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel what I said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, and you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus uses a figure of speech here that may not be obvious to us what he's talking about. He says, first, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. We usually take the water to be baptism, the idea of repentance and coming to our Lord. And we looked at that really the last couple of weeks. We're really going to concentrate this morning on that second part. You must be born of the Spirit. What does Jesus mean, you must be born of the Spirit? Well, he uses the analogy of the wind. And that may be something that's a little harder for us to think about. But actually, this week, the wind was in the news quite a bit. If you've read about the hurricane that hit Mexico earlier in the week, they said when it hit land, it had winds of 160 miles an hour. But when it was over the ocean right before it hit land, they measured the wind speed in the core of that hurricane at 190 miles an hour, the highest hurricane they've ever measured. It was off the scale. In fact, I just read this week, or was told this week, about how they came up with the hurricane scale. That we have, you know, if you live in Florida, we have up to Category 5 hurricanes. And the wind speed of her is 150 miles an hour. There isn't a Category 6. The reason there's no Category 6 is when they made the original scale, they didn't think any building could withstand 150. So why have anything bigger? 150 is going to wipe you out, so you don't need to have anything higher than that. Of course, now we have had hurricanes even higher than 150. But the idea I want you to think about, you think about the wind of that hurricane and the tremendous damage. We don't ignore it just because we may not, quote, understand it. This week, Monday and Tuesday this week, if you walk down anywhere close to the beach, we had 30-mile-per-hour gusts all Monday and Tuesday. Even inland, it was pretty gusty, windy day. And if you look at that wind, and it wasn't just a few minutes. I mean, it blew all day long, 15, 20 miles per hour. And you think, well, where does that wind come from? Where does all that air come from that's in that wind? Where does it all go? We don't always know exactly where the wind comes from, where it goes. That's what Jesus says. I mean, you can see the wind. Do you really understand it? Can you tell me where it comes from and where it's going to go? You really can't do that. But do you ignore it just because you don't understand it? Nobody that was in Mexico would ignore that hurricane that came at them. You don't ignore 160 mile per hour winds. And even the 30 mile per hour gusts that we had, that can do some damage if you just ignore it. We don't ignore the wind because we may not understand it or can say where it's going to come from or where it's going to go. We can still see it or see the effect of it. We can still hear it. We still know it's there. Yesterday afternoon, if you drove across the causeway in the middle of the day, there were about 50 or 100 sailboats out on Indian River. I don't know if you saw that. One of their regattas when they had these races. And those guys in that sailboat, they may not have known what caused the wind or where it was going to come from, but they knew if they put their sail in the right direction, they could sail down and then they could sail back up. They could use the wind, even though they may not fully understand where it was coming from or where it was going. They could still know that it was there. And that's the analogy that Jesus uses with us, with the very Spirit of God. When he tells Nicodemus he must be born again of the Spirit, we may not understand the Spirit. There's many things about the Holy Spirit that we can discuss and think about. We may not understand all about the Spirit. But it doesn't mean the Spirit cannot work within us. It cannot make us be born again. Look at a few more scriptures. And the scripture that Jesus gave us, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound. You know it's there. But you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. You may not understand everything about the Spirit. So it is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Look at, in Titus, Paul gives us these words, and I think it helps illustrate the power of the Spirit within us. But when the goodness and loving kindness, I like that phrase, that loving kindness of our God and our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. In other words, not by anything we do. We haven't worked and saved ourselves. Jesus paid the price when he went to the cross. But according to his own mercy. Now look at this next part. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice what the Holy Spirit does. It renews us. It makes us new. We're born again through the Spirit, and we may not understand how that works. But by faith, we know we receive that Holy Spirit, and it can make us into something we may not have even thought was possible within our lives. The renewal, the regeneration, the new life that's promised us in Christ comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus doesn't end his discussion with Nicodemus there. Nicodemus actually asks Jesus two questions. How can I be born again? And how can this be so? And Jesus goes on and talks to him. Notice what he says. If I told you about earthly things, like the wind, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? In other words, there's things it's hard for Jesus even to talk to us about. No one ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, this is one of the very first times in the Gospels that Jesus actually refers to the cross. If you go through the Gospels, you see that he refers to the cross throughout the Gospels, that the cross was always on his mind and is always in God's plan. In fact, Paul speaks out before the creation of the world, before time itself even began. However long ago that was, God had planned to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. That was his eternal plan. And here Jesus uses the idea of Moses in the lifting up the serpent. Now, this is a story that comes to us in Numbers. And it's an interesting story. If you go through, most of us know that Israel came out of captivity there in Egypt. Moses did the 10 plagues and brought them through the Red Sea. But they get to the edge of the promised land and they don't believe they can go in. And they murmur against God. And he tells them, because you didn't believe, because of your unfaithfulness, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years before you go into the promised land. You get to Numbers chapter 20 and the wandering in the desert's almost over. Aaron dies in the chapter before. And they send some messengers out to Edom. They're actually finally on that last path that's going to lead to Jericho and into the promised land. And they have to go about around the land of Edom, which is down at the bottom of the Red Sea. And they send some messengers out, and they ask the Edomites to let them come around. If you remember, Edom comes from Esau. So they're sort of like cousins of Israel. But the Edomites don't let them do that. They said, no, we're not going to let you come through. We're going to get our army out there and stand guard, and you've got to go around. So they got to go all the way around Edom to get up to Jericho to go into the promised land. So they've been in the desert now out of something like 35 to almost 40 years. And notice what happens. This is in Numbers. and notice the story that's given to us. From Mount Hor, they went out to the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now, this is at the very bottom as they come up to Jericho. And the people became impatient on the way. Now, this is part of the I don't have to worry about, because none of us ever become impatient. Now, but they had been wandering now for over 35, 40 years in the desert. But now they become impatient. On the way, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, this is an amazing verse to me. God has watched over these people for 40 years. They've given them manna. He's given them water. He's done everything he could. And now they say, you brought us out here to die in the desert. You can see their unfaithfulness. Throughout the scriptures in Hebrews and in Corinthians, Paul uses Israel as an example to us of what unfaithfulness means and that not to follow the example of Israel. But they go on, for there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. That's the manna from heaven that God's been giving them. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the people died. If you read on down, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away these serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he could look at the bronze serpent and he could live. Now, this is the example that Jesus gives for us to look to him. But I want you to notice a few things in the story of Israel. What do we think about as sin? If you think about, we talk about sin. If we define sin, we might use all different ways. But I want you to notice how sin is defined here. In this story, sin is spoken of as speaking against God and speaking against Moses, his servant. The idea of rejecting God. Sometimes I think we want to make little trivial things, but the sins that are talked about here are not trivial. It's not just saying the wrong thing or stubbing your toe and saying something you shouldn't say, but it's rejecting God. Speaking against God is what the people did. And so God sent fiery serpents to punish them, to bring them back, to help them repent, and they do. They repent and they come to Moses and say, Moses, we've sinned. Pray to God for us. Take away these serpents. And that's often what we pray for. Something's happened to us. We pray for God to fix it for us. But notice what God does. He doesn't take the serpents away. What does He do? He tells Moses to put the serpent up on a pole. And the people, if they look up to the serpent, then they'll be healed. But He doesn't take the serpents away. He just gives them a way to be healed from the serpent's bite. And if you think about the serpent being the way our sins are in our world, God doesn't protect us from things of the world, but He gives us a way out. He gives us a way back to Him. What did the people have to do? Did they just have to call to God and everything was fine? No. There was something expected of the people. They had to look up at that serpent to be healed. They couldn't not ignore. If they just said, well, God's going to heal me and didn't do anything, they wouldn't have been healed. They had to look up to the serpent. Now, in looking up to the serpent, you couldn't say they earned their healing or they worked for it, but they received it because of their faith. By looking up, they showed their faith. They showed their humbling themselves before God. And so that's what was required of them, was to look up at that serpent and so be healed. And so Jesus uses that as an example for us. What is required of us to come to Him? When He tells us to be born again, how are we born again? How can we be born from above? How can we become the people He wants us to be? He says there's two parts of it, water and the Spirit. And the water we've looked at is the idea of repentance. Throughout Jesus' teaching, as we've looked at, He always has that idea, we have to repent. We have to turn to God. We have to be walking as the Lord would have us to walk. In John, He says, if you're going to abide in Christ, you have to walk as He walked. In other words, you've got to live your life like Jesus. And we looked at that with the fig tree. What does it mean to bear fruit of Christianity? It means to live like Jesus. It means to show the world what Jesus is all about. To live your life like Jesus lived His life. To walk as He walked is what we're called to do. And that idea of repentance, to be baptized on the day of Pentecost, the people came to Jesus, Peter, very similar like they came to Moses. And they said, we've sinned. What can we do? And Peter says, you can repent and be baptized and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not understand exactly what that gift of the Holy Spirit is, and there's probably lots of different ideas. And it's very much like Jesus talks about, you may not understand the wind, but you can see the effects of it. You know it's there. So it is with being born of the Spirit. We may not understand how the Spirit's going to change us, how it's going to make us born again, how it's going to make us into the people that we can be. But it will, because it's the very Spirit of God that lives within us. Look at a few more scriptures this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer says, to look to Jesus, very similar to what Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. In Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, men like Moses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, all the things of this world that are always there with us, even those snakes that God didn't take away, they're still there. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus took on the cross. We can look to Him. We can live our lives like He lived His life. We can be like Him. And over in 1 John, a couple of scriptures. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, that is, the false teachers, the false ways of this world. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And a few verses later, by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. When you come to Christ, when you are born of the water, then you receive the Holy Spirit. When you repent and are baptized, you receive the very Spirit of God to live within you. And we may not always understand what it can do within us. But Jesus says you can be truly born again. You can be born from above. You can become the people I want you to be because my very Spirit will be within you. And just as we don't always understand the wind, we may not understand how that Spirit can work within us. But we're told that it does. In Philippians, he says, I will work within you. I will work within you. I will be there with you. And we can truly be the people that he calls us to be. This morning, you can think about our lives and we can think about the fact that sometimes we don't understand, how can I truly be the kind of person God wants me to be? There are things in my life I've done. How can I truly be forgiven for those things? But you can be. You can be truly washed. You can be clean, regenerated by the Holy Spirit itself, and become the people that God would have us to be. This morning, think about your life. This whole last couple of weeks, we've talked about the idea of making sure that our lives are the way that they should be. As Jesus cleansed that temple, from time to time, we need to look back at our lives and make sure our life is the way that it should be. Central to the idea of being a Christian is the idea of repentance. When we repent, we come back to the Lord. And central to that also is the idea that the Lord's very Spirit works within us to make us into the kind of people He would have us to be. So this week, think about your life. Are you walking as Jesus walked? Do you have that Spirit within you? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? If you've never put your Lord on in baptism, there's not be a better time than this morning. If you've started that walk, make sure that you stay that walk. That we are truly walking as Jesus walked. If need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.